guys. If everybody's ready, we'll get started. Okay, we can start with a roll call, please.
Commissioner Madigan?
Here.
Commissioner Geary?
Here.
Commissioner Anderson?
Here.
Commissioner Blackburn?
Here.
Commissioner Watches?
Here.
Supervisor Perez?
Absent and excused. Okay, next on to the approval of summary of proceedings for April 15th, our regular meeting.
Did we receive the file, or do we have some corrections?
We have two.
Okay.
I've already given them to Amber, so we need to get real detailed. But on the second page, where I was directed for Commissioner Geary, Nicole, and Commissioner Vogelbaum, I just wanted to add that issues are a personal matter and to be addressed internally, so that anybody has a problem. And then on the next page, under Commissioner Reports, I just want to add that Commissioner Madigan indicated that aggressive dog ordinance issues was left off the agenda and was for the previous month's summary change.
Okay. Any other corrections? Okay, one that I see that we need to make is the April 15th is the date.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On the meeting, not the 16th.
Oh, gotcha.
It was text one.
Any other questions?
It's over.
Okay, if I can get a motion.
Make a motion.
Receive and file. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. So approved. All right, next, the consent agenda. These agenda items before the Animal Control Commission may be acted upon with one motion if no member of the commission or audience comment or ask questions. We do have an item of correspondence that is filed with the commission. Well, according to this, it says we do.
There's none.
There's none? Okay.
There's none. Mine says none.
It's okay.
All right. Oh, never mind. Okay. Onward and upward. Next is public presentations. This portion of the meeting is reserved for persons to address the commission on any matter not on this agenda, but under the jurisdiction of the commission, and the commissioners may respond promptly to statements made or questions posed. They may ask a question for clarification, make a referral to staff for factual information, or request staff to report back to the commission at a later meeting. Also, the commission may ask to direct the staff to place a matter of business on a future agenda. We would like you to please come up to the podium, state your name and your address for the record, and before making your presentation, you will be limited to 2 minutes. And if I can ask everybody to please turn their cell phones on or off, or down, onto vibrate, so that we don't have any disruptions during that. So we will start with the first table and work our way back. Judy? Second table? Dick, did you do anything? No? I'll get there. Third table. Do you have anything, Sue? Okay, do you have something, then?
I do.
Okay, please step to the podium. I'm sorry, somebody in the back way.
I apologize for that.
I need to hold it?
Yeah.
Okay. Testing. Can you hear me back there? My name is Renee Nelson, and I'm with a group that we're coming to know. We were just at the city, and I just wanted to let you know that we had requested that the city take the mandatory spay and neuter issue back to the legislative committee, and they did agree to do that. Don't know the date on that, but just thought you might be interested to know that they are going to again revisit that issue. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Third table.
I'll wait till next month.
Okay. Fourth table?
Something to look forward to.
Anybody back there? Okay. And we have back there, Bob. Anybody in your neck of the woods? Come on up, ma'am.
He said no.
Yeah.
Just turn the mic on.
Oh.
It's just a slight little switch.
Good afternoon. My name is Annabelle Jimenez, and as previously stated, we just came from City Council, and we are going to be put on the agenda. And the reason for being here is I would like to start by thanking actually the county for all the spay and neuter programs that are offered for the city. I would like to be pushed for accountability on the pet owners. I feel that even with so many of us concerned citizens and organizations here in the county, that our city is city shelters and county shelters are still overpopulated with cats, dogs, and so on. Even our streets and sadly on social media. I feel that we need to focus a lot on backyard breeders. I feel that they're one of the main problems for the overpopulation. I feel that every time I go on the social media website, Craigslist or Connect or whatever, here in the city and county, that all you see is people just handing over puppies underage, cats, dogs, kittens, you name it, handing them over to whoever, selling them as well, without any licensing, without even accountability for updated vaccinations. And I feel that that is a huge problem, because they're handing over to complete strangers that are they're not taking consideration the long-term effects in our county.
20 seconds.
Statistically, an average dog litter ranges from 5 to 8 puppies, and only 2 of those will be lucky enough to find a good home. Sadly, the rest will end up either at our county shelters or in the streets. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Hello, my name is Lindsay Haney, and my address is P.O. Box 10418, Bakersfield, California, 93389. I'm just coming back again with the potentially dangerous dogs, and I know it's on the agenda.
It is on the agenda, so we will discuss it at that time.
Okay.
Do you have something else that you need to discuss?
I think it was good what she said about holding the dog owner accountable.
Okay.
That was good.
We'll discuss dangerous dogs during that time.
So when that comes, can I present this later?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Do we have anybody else back there? Okay, then that concludes public presentations. Do we have
hold
any
it.
Questions? Yes. Oh, what are you doing over there? You're the wrong table. You're supposed to be here. Come on up, man.
Where they can keep an eye on you.
Turn the mic on, Liz.
I can talk loud.
Okay. Just
turn it on. A little bit apart.
Oh, there you go.
You got it.
Testing. 1, 2, 3, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm wondering.
Name, address,
oh,
please.
Sorry. My name is Liz Keough. I am a proud resident of the 5th Supervisorial District. And do you need more than that? Okay. A while back, we had some discussion about the change from under the zoning code to the animal code and I'm wondering, maybe I missed something, has anything been done about that? Is something coming back or what? Thank you.
We will refer to our attorney for that, please. She will answer your question.
Planning has provided draft statutes for review, and between Nick and I, they are currently under review right now. And once we're done, they'll be presented to your board.
Perfect.
I think planning wants to appear to do that.
Yeah, I believe that's what she said. So, thank you. Yes. Once they've been reviewed, then we'll have something set up where they will come to present.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? Okay, now that concludes public presentations. Do we have any questions or comments from the commissioners? Nope. Okay. On to the next item then, which is staff announcements and reports. Mr. Cullen, you have the floor.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I have several things I need to speak about, so I may get long-winded here. First and foremost, a few things I'd like to bring to everybody's attention in the monthly report is that our rescue team did focus on coordinating transportation of animals for two flights during the month of April, as our rescue transport vehicle was at the garage for the month of April. Together working with the medical team, the rescue team, we sent a total of 52 animals on two flights to five different rescues in Washington. Rescue partners did save also an additional 200 animals for a grand total of 252 animals saved in the month of April. Our foster program, we made some changes to the foster program prior to about middle of last month. Our rescue coordinator also handled the foster coordination. And with where we want to go with foster coordinating and the foster program, we felt it was appropriate that that program needs to have one dedicated individual. So we've appointed a staff member as the foster coordinator, and that is all she does. She's been quite busy over the past 6 weeks. Already she's in the month of April, we had 76 animals enter the foster care program, which is about 60 more than entered the month before, approximately, somewhere around there.
40.
But 40, about 40 animals more. So the foster program is growing and getting up off the ground, and it's no surprise to this department or anybody else in this room how important the foster care program is to save those animals that are just too young to be adopted. We see thousands of animals that come into the shelter every year that are just too young and just need a foster parent to take care of them. So if you know anybody that has some spare time and is willing to assist in helping a shelter animal's life, please contact the animal services and find out about becoming a foster parent, because it can be a very, very rewarding part of your life, and you're doing your part to save the animals in this community. So the foster program is really important. Also, in the month of April, Grimway Farms invited the department to participate once again in their annual company picnic and their health benefits fair in April. The outreach program's manager and the rescue coordinator attended the event with an information booth. We did provide educational materials about responsible pet ownership, spay neuter resources in the community, and just the general services provided by the department. I personally take it very seriously, and I think it's immensely important to take advantage of these opportunities in these events off-site, to talk to folks about responsible pet ownership, talk to folks about the programs that we offer, so that those people that need to make use of those programs can do so and get the information to do that. So we're trying to focus on some of those off-site events that we can provide education out to the public. Our trap, neuter, release program is still going strong. We've eclipsed the 3,000 number. So since July of 2013, 3,043 cats have been altered and re-released back into their where they came from. Those are 3,043 cats that likely would have been euthanized in years past. I'm proud of that 3,000 number. In April, we partnered with 4th District Supervisor David Couch, Valley Vet Nonprofit, and the Kern County Parks Recreation District to provide spay neuter services to the residents in the Fraser Park area. 28 animals were spayed or neutered at this clinic, and we're going to continue to partner with some of these agencies and the Board of Supervisors to continue to bring spay neuter services to as many unincorporated areas as possible, especially those outlying areas that don't have access to those services. The other thing I did want to talk about is there was some recent media coverage of the Wings of Rescue transports that the county was involved in, as well as the city and some other organizations in the county. Wings of Rescue and Kern County Animal Services, we've been working together to save the lives of shelter pets since 2014. The goal of both agencies was and is to save shelter pets that otherwise would not have a second chance at a forever home. Since the beginning of the partnership, Wings of Rescue has helped Kern County Animal Services save the lives of over 400 dogs and cats from our shelters, and a number of animals from other shelters in the community, too. They're a wonderful organization. They do really good things, and they're in it for the same reason that everybody else is, to save lives. In April of this year, Wings of Rescue notified Kern County Animal Services that some of the dogs believed to be on the March 18th flight had become severely ill. There was four dogs, and those four dogs' offspring. Two of the four dogs were females, and one of the females had nine pups, and I think the other one had six pups. It was a total of 19 dogs that went on those transports. Again, it was the four adult dogs with their offspring that came down severely ill. They were either suspected or confirmed to have distemper. Obviously, that's something that we take seriously and are very concerned about, just for the simple fact that these are animals that have come to the shelter and gone on their way to find their forever home, and unfortunately it doesn't look like they're going to be finding their forever home. We were very concerned to hear the news, as our goal is always to ensure the health and safety of the pets entrusted in our care. We've been doing it for years, and we will continue to do it. We were asked to participate in a conference call with Wings of Rescue staff, ASPCA staff, several veterinarians, including Dr. Sandra Newberry with the University of Wisconsin. The purpose of that conference call was to address the concerns that some of the animals from Southern California shelters had made the transports and become severely ill with what was most likely suspected to be distemper, and a review of the procedures in these transports from the beginning of the transport preparedness at the shelters to the placement in a forever home from the receiving shelters. All that was discussed, point A to point C, the whole process. All agencies involved wanted to ensure that the animals participated were properly being cared for from beginning to end. The next step for Wings of Rescue in Kern County was to ensure close communication between the two agencies and ensure that any issues or concerns on either side were being addressed. On May 1st, I had a call that I made to Rick Broud with Wings of Rescue, and we had a good discussion where he told me what his concerns were and said, you know, at this point in time, we can't be taking animals out of your shelter just because of the animals that had been on that last flight that came down ill. They just wanted to be assured that we were taking the steps to make sure that our shelter is safe and that we're doing the right practices, and that if any future flights that we're involved in will be free of ill animals. During that call, the department was notified that there were the additional ill animals on the earlier, but that was the total of the 19 dogs that we talked about. Wings of Rescue did request Kern County, or we agreed to suspend those flights until those concerns that Wings of Rescue had were addressed. They had four concerns. One of the concerns was that our shelter, the way it is, well, the way it was about 2 weeks ago, we did not have a quarantine area for incoming animals. We had an isolation area for contagious animals, but not a quarantine area for incoming animals. So we spent some time last week rearranging the shelter where we house animals so that we do have a dedicated quarantine area for animals incoming. We also made some changes on their recommendations to who ultimately evaluates the animals for adoption and rescue purposes, so that when an animal's in a shelter and it's being moved to the adoptable kennels or the rescue kennels, that they're being medically evaluated by an RVT, a registered veterinary technician, or a veterinarian. So that's been put in place. We've also reached out to Unity Thrift out of Taft. Unity Thrift Rescue is an awesome rescue. They're, again, in it for the right reasons. They want to save lives. And they have an expansive network of fosters. So we tapped into their fosters. They were more than happy to help us out. They took, I think, 18 dogs off our hands about a week and a half ago and have them in foster, and those animals will be on the next flight, which I think is May 29th. They did also suggest that, you know, we reach out to a UC Davis or a University of Wisconsin just to have a consultation to find out in our new facility if there's things that we can do a little bit differently, especially seeing the animals that are coming in and the condition that they're coming in. So that is an ongoing communication between myself and Dr. Sandra Newberry with the University of Wisconsin. And she's been very helpful just to give some recommendations, find out what we're doing right now, and find out how we can improve the system. And I think improvements are always good for any department. We do take any concerns about the care and welfare of the animals in our shelters very seriously. I've been with the department for 10 years. I've been with the shelter for 4 years. All of my staff, myself included, we care for each and every animal that comes into that facility. I can't say that enough. We did listen to the suggestions and the recommendations from Wings regarding the preparation for animals on flights, and we did begin to evaluate some of our current procedures to see if we can make additional changes to prevent this type of incident in the future. And those changes were basically on who's going to evaluate those animals when they're ready to be moved to adoption. Whereas before, it was general staff that would provide vaccinations and general staff would move those animals to adoption. It's going to be medical staff now, registered vet techs and veterinarians. We'll continue to work with over 200 local, regional, and out-of-state rescues to ensure we can carry on our life-saving mission every day. We would like to thank the network of many rescue partners that we deal with on a daily basis. We would like to thank the citizens of Kern County who continue to open their hearts and homes to shelter pets on a daily basis. We have been adopting out more animals than ever before, and we can't do that without the help of the public in Kern County and beyond. Community and capital collaboration is a key to the successes of any department, and we do look forward to the continued community support and engagement to develop solutions to animal welfare issues in the county. That's what this forum is for. I've always felt it's important to bring issues forward, but also bring solutions to issues, and that's what this forum is for. I did want to talk about that. If there's any questions, I can answer those questions, but I do have two more things to go over. This weekend, we will be having our second event for the Animals for Armed Forces. This weekend, Memorial Day weekend, Saturday the 23rd, Sunday the 24th, it'll be a free adoption event for service members and the service members' direct family. It went really well last year. It was well received and appreciated by the staff and the vets that came out, and we just want to show our appreciation to the folks that have risked their lives for this wonderful country that we live in. And to touch a little bit on that foster program that's so important, we are putting together what we are calling the Tiny Paws Kitten and Puppy Shower. We're having a foster baby shower, which we thought was a really cool idea. We need to network and market the foster program so that we can get folks that can take these puppies and kittens that are just too young out of the shelter, keep them for a period of time until they're old enough for adoption. So Saturday, May 30th at the shelter from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., come down and take part in our Tiny Paws Kitten and Puppy Shower. And yes, I'm a man, and I'm okay saying Tiny Paws Kitten and Puppy Shower. And that concludes the director's report. Any questions?
Quick question. Who is the new foster coordinator?
Our new foster coordinator, her name is Deanna. Her last name is Al-Wahabi. It's a little difficult for me to spell.
Deanna's good.
Deanna. All you got to do is say Deanna. She's always running around the shelter somewhere.
And then one thing you left off the report is that Isabella had a dedication ceremony on April 14th.
They did.
To celebrate the new player.
Yes.
On the quarantine area that you just put in,
yes.
How long are these animals in this quarantine area? I mean, it's a topic of discussion.
Ultimately, they're going to come in and stay in that quarantine area until they're evaluated by a member of the medical staff. So when they come in, it's usually about a 72-hour period by the time the medical staff will evaluate them and move them to their permanent holding kennel, which will be the front area. But like, if you walk into the shelter right now, you'll notice that the adoption kennels are fairly empty. Well, not anymore, but they were empty. And that's that reason, because they're in a quarantine holding period for a period of about 72 hours until they're evaluated by a member of the medical staff to be moved into adoption.
I know of course, everybody read the article about it, and, of course, the incubation period on the stemper is how many days does it take?
It could be anywhere from 4 to 14 days.
14 days. So, I mean, if that gets by somebody, it can easily happen.
Absolutely.
It can happen very easily. So.
It's a battle that most shelters face. A lot of diseases in dogs specifically start out with the same symptoms as your garden variety upper respiratory infection or something severe and life-threatening like distemper. So when you see those signs develop and you treat for what you believe is upper respiratory infection and those signs go away and the dog is no longer symptomatic, it's very difficult to determine if that animal is overcome or are they going to have a relapse several days later. And that's something that the shelter always has issues with, and we continue to try and find solutions for them.
So did the steps that you took in the last several weeks, did that satisfy the rescue company to where they're going to pick up again and start?
Well, they're not going to be satisfied until I can complete the consult with Dr. Newberry with the University of Wisconsin, which, you know, any assistance you can give us is awesome. So, but I've been in contact with Rick with Wings and Rescue over the period to communicate with him the things that we've done. He's very happy with the progress that we've made and some of the things that we've addressed. So I'm pretty confident that within the next few weeks we'll be back up with Wings and Rescue. And actually, technically, we are right now because thank goodness that Unity Crypt has stepped in with their foster program and has been able to continue to take animals.
That's, I know you're taking every step possible. I know you're doing a good job. Can I ask about the report?
Can I ask a question?
Certainly.
We'll go to the report. With the mom and the pups, how old were the puppies?
They were 4 weeks when they entered our
Okay.
The nine pups were 4 weeks, and then the other mom had those puppies at our shelter.
Okay, and they accepted them for flight?
Yes.
Okay. Whether they're a rescue or not, they're still bound by FAA and USDA regulations, which those puppies shouldn't have been on the flight, basically, is what it comes down to. Unfortunately, there's enough stress. You know, we all know stress lowers the immune system. They're still building an immune system as babies, and that's only if mom has immunities to begin with. So I think that definitely there needs to be a concern and a consult that appropriate USDA and FAA rules are adhered to, and that's their responsibility. So I put some of this on them for, you know, accepting animals that maybe should not have been on that flight to begin with.
And you know, Commissioner Anderson, I'm concerned with our department and what we're doing to address the concerns.
Exactly.
And ultimately, if it has nothing to do with the Wings of Rescue or the animals and the lives that are saved through Wings of Rescue, this is something that ultimately should be better for the animals as a whole.
Right.
So any chance that we get to improve anything we do is it's a gift,
yeah.
I think, and that's how we look at it.
Understood. So I know you guys are doing everything you can, and this has been a learning experience, mm-hmm. you know, yet again. And you're in a new facility, so, you know, having a consult with, you know, the universities probably isn't a bad thing because it's a whole different, it's a different animal now.
Absolutely.
Judy, you had something?
Is it known that the dams of those two litters were vaccinated for distemper within a month of becoming pregnant?
No way of knowing.
No way of knowing. Because if they were, they directly transmitted the distemper to those puppies in utero.
Without getting too specific, most of the larger litter of puppies and what they had determined or what we all feel was the patient zero, if you will, pulled off of one property, and I'll just say that it wasn't the best circumstances that the animal was removed from.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to continue on. I know that your staff is doing everything possible to make euthanasia the last choice, and I know that, and I've talked to them in detail, and they're using every other option to its fullest extent, or as far as they know it is. Can you comment on the capacity of the kennel right now? Like, I mean, do you have like a percentage scale that you know what it is right now?
Since our shelter is compartmentalized, mm-hmm. which is a good thing in an animal shelter, each area has a separate max capacity, if you will. I don't know what each area's max capacity is right now, but we have determined that our max in the shelter is approximately 250 animals. Okay. And that doesn't mean that's the maximum amount of animals a shelter can hold. That means that is the maximum amount of animals that you can hold while still mitigating the spread of disease through the shelter. Animal shelters are always going to see disease. It's what happens. But the more animals you have, the easier it is to transmit. Yeah. And as I had said several times, you know, if animal services faulted anywhere, it's that when you try so hard to save every animal mm-hmm. that comes through your doors, you end up holding them for too long because you end up saying, if I just hold this dog through the weekend, I know I'll find them home. And when that happens on a larger scale, you end up increasing your population, and right. you make it easier for disease to spread. So there's a lot of hard decisions that have to be made, and we'll continue to do them and save lives at the same time.
No, but it's commendable that, you know, that change in attitude, that we're going to wait until the last second, or we're going to, you know, hold them a little longer, or we're going to have a few more than normal. And I know euthanasia is the last choice. I do need to comment, as I do monthly, on our live outcome rate. It had been hovering around 60% year-to-date, and I noticed in this month it's around 56.8, if I did my number crunching correctly.
You did.
Did I? Okay. I thought I did, but I did it kind of quickly. So I know there's a million factors that go into that, and I know that...
Well, there's one really solid factor, okay. And that's the two young puppies and kittens, mostly kittens. Okay. It's it's that time of year we're starting to see a large influx of puppies and kittens. That's why the foster program is so important. That's why we're having a baby shower, a tiny paws, kitten shower.
We're trying kale?
I'm sorry?
You serve kale?
It wasn't talked about, but maybe it's on the agenda. But it's going to be fun. I mean, we're going to have a bottle feeding class for kittens there, and all the supplies and the applications, and we'll have some animals that are available for foster then, too. So it's going to be a good thing to promote the foster program.
Well, I'm glad that you have a foster coordinator, because look what happened when you hired Jeff to do the volunteer coordinator. He's taken that whole division, and now look at the hours for last month, 1,698, call it 1,700 hours, which is huge. And then you can equate that to dollars and bodies, you know, if you wish. Yeah, it's a lot. So to make that decision to have a foster coordinator, when that really is the biggest reason that the youth cancer rate is up, is they're too young to survive on their own, right? It's a sad thing. So if you get them fostered out, that's a great thing. So I commend you for doing something that has never been done before, right? You didn't have a foster coordinator in the past, did you?
Well, we had a rescue / foster coordinator.
Okay, they did both.
Yes.
But to specialize in that one area, that's right. New.
Yeah.
Okay.
I will add one more thing that, you know, we made a decision actually within the last day or two. We hold a vaccination clinic at the animal shelter every Wednesday between 5 and 6:30 p.m. County residents could obtain DHPV, which is your distemper parvo vaccination. You could obtain your rabies vaccination, your license, during those clinics between 5 and 6:30 at our shelter on 3951 Fruitvale Avenue. We also offer those services off-site clinics, usually 2 weekends a month at parks throughout the county. Those services were only limited to county residents. We made a decision that, especially with some of the underserved communities out there that don't have access to core vaccinations, distemper parvo vaccinations, and they don't live in a district or a municipality that has the ability to provide those services to their residents. We made the decision that regardless of jurisdiction, if folks come down to any one of our clinics, they can pay $3 for a distemper parvo vaccination. As well as any off-site clinic, they can purchase those distemper parvo vaccinations, again, regardless of jurisdiction. So if they live in the city, who cares? We'll give them a vaccination. If there's somebody that's wanting to do the right thing and protect their animals from distemper or parvo, and then potentially protect those animals if they end up at the shelter, then that's the right thing to do. So we made that decision this morning. So please spread the word if you have folks that are looking for a distemper parvo.
That's all the questions I've got.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sure.
Okay. Now, does Blake just do his report under your staff announcements also?
Yeah.
No, Blake has his own under old business.
Yeah, he does.
Okay, perfect. All righty.
I'm old business.
I'm with the director's report, and you survive. All right.
Told you that a lot.
Next, we have commissioner announcements and reports.
I did a photo training with the staff. What day was that?
Wednesday?
10? It was a Sunday.
Sunday, yeah.
I think it was the 10th. It was fun. I hope it was useful. I haven't gotten any feedback.
It was very useful.
Good. I spent a little extra time with a couple of guys that were really interested. One of them was also Nick, and they call him Nick Jr. When I said that, he kind of looked at me like, I'll kill you. But it was really good. We got to talk about a lot of interesting ideas. And so I'm glad that it worked out for them. That's about it.
Cool. I was given a bunch of flyers. If anyone happens to be up in the Tehachapi area, there is what they call an epic yard sale that is to benefit Hell Heart Humane Society, and it's a huge yard sale. So I've got flyers to go to once.
Okay. John?
My announcement is tonight is my last night. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I will be resigning after 9 years of this position. Wow. this is hard. I am amazed and wow.
You've done a lot.
come a long way. And I ask all of you to keep going. Please, please, please keep going. I'm going to get emotional. When I started, we were, wow.
It was a mess.
Yeah.
It was a mess. And all of you, I mean, not all of you, but so many are originally here. You've been here the 9 years. We've been here. And just keep going, everybody, and keep it positive and keep moving forward. Please, please, please. And that's, I mean, I had this discussion with my supervisor, too, and you have an opportunity to really make a difference. And I know for a fact the nation's watching. They're watching Kern County. I know that because I've talked to people. They're watching what we're doing. So keep going forward and making a positive difference. And you're helping. You're doing it. And so keep going. And I'm looking forward to watching, too. And I'll be there supporting you. So, and the rescue that I work with, we're still going to be in Kern County. They're still going to be active. They're still going to be doing their thing. And I'm still going to be a part of that, just I won't be here. I'm going to be fighting from the sidelines out somewhere else and still be involved in animal rescue from somewhere else. But keep going, guys. You're doing phenomenal work.
Thank you, Don.
All right.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. First, I'll speak for Supervisor Perez. She asked that I extend her sincere apologies for not being at the last few meetings. For some reason, they took it off her calendar. And she would have been here tonight, but she had a previous obligation. But she will be here next month. And she wanted me to relay that at the clinic at Heritage last weekend, they took care of 23 dogs and 7 cats with the $10 vouchers, and that was for the 5th District, and that they are working, her office is working with Marley's Mutts to have another spay-neuter event in Lamont in late June. So that's from Supervisor Perez. And then on that note, as we discussed, we are working with Nathan Winograd to bring him here. We're looking tentatively at the end of June. And based on some of the requirements of Mr. Winograd, we are working with Supervisor Perez and Director Cullen, and hope to make this thing all come to fruition by the end of June. So we'll keep you posted on that. And he will be talking and showing a film based on his no-kill.
Redemption.
Yeah, Redemption is the name of the film. So we'll keep you posted on that. We're looking forward to having him. And that's all I've got for now. So that's it for Commissioner reports. On to old business. First, we have staff referrals.
We have staff referrals.
Okay, good deal. It says none under there.
You want me to reformat that for you?
Yeah. Circle it. Number two is the dangerous dog ordinance subcommittee update.
I made 15 packets, enough for commissioners and staff, a few left. I think Lindsay probably should have one since she authored some of this. And I'm not going to go into a huge amount of detail. What I'd like is for everybody to, I can make, get more copies for everybody else, but as usual, I did at the last minute. But I'd like people to look through it. We also need feedback from our county council on what will work, what won't work, and then we have to go jump through all the millions of hoops of having an ordinance changed, which takes like 9 months. So anyway, but in the packet, the first page is just a summary of the issues. The next two pages are the first two pages of the county animal ordinance with some changes in red. After that is the four-page ordinance that Commissioner Geary wrote. After that is a sample ordinance from Irvine. And the last page is some other information from ours. I'm just going to go through the summary quickly. The first item that was recommended was that we keep the animal's dangerous or vicious designation on their record permanently. rather than having the designation removed after the 36 months. Our subcommittee felt that that was a reasonable issue, so we made a modification, not to necessarily keep it on the record permanently, but to include the fact that there was a previous incident, and therefore, if the dog has a single incident in the future, that previous designation will apply to that. So that's how we addressed that one. The second request was that after an initial incident, not a dog that had been previously designated, but after initial incident, that the dog be designated potentially or dangerous or vicious after just one incident. We felt that it wasn't necessary to make any changes on that because the ordinance already gives the director the discretion if he feels it's necessary to make a designation after one incident. So we didn't act on that one. The third issue we discussed was the fact that there are lots of situations where there are multiple previous reports for a variety of different things, or maybe one thing over and over again, but none of it's ever of the nature that it can be escalated. So what we did was recommended a modification to the ordinance where that particular issue can be considered even if none of those particular reports are able to be escalated. The next topic was about notifying appropriate people when there's going to be a hearing. We felt that there might be some inconsistency about when victims and witnesses are notified of hearings, so we added in something, a notation about when the owner is notified, also the witnesses and the victims will be notified. And then the last issue was something we discussed about a nuisance ordinance, which is sort of a less intense concern than the dangerous or vicious, but dogs that are constantly getting out, that kinds of things. So Commissioner Geary drafted one up, and she also provided the one from Irvine to look at. And then the very last page is a couple of current Kern County ordinances that address that issue that our county council provided that we might want to look at the same time. I hope that makes a little bit of sense.
But these are all really, really rough drafts, and county council still has to go over them, and we'll probably end up meeting with you at one point or another to... We just threw this all at her.
It's not 5 hours ago.
Yeah, there you go. But if anybody else wants information, I'll figure out a way to get it to you. Just let me know. I can email it or whatever, but or get your package. But there are a few extra packages up there from March. Do we want to open it up for public comment? Or?
Sure.
Is that appropriate?
Nobody's had a chance to really review anything, right?
That's true.
So I would suggest that maybe we, you know, receive a file and leave it as one of the
Ms. Anderson
under old business.
Ms. Anderson, remember earlier you said that you'd give someone an opportunity to come talk now.
Oh, that's right. You are absolutely correct. Like, thank you very much. Okay. So I guess we will. Okay. All right. We'll start at the back with Ms. Haney.
Thank you. I don't know, is this a 2-minute time limit?
Yes,
as well? Okay, so I won't. Well, first, I would like to thank you for being on the subcommittee. I really appreciate you taking the time to meet with me, and same with Nick. My cat was killed by 2 dogs, and they had previous records, so this is something very important to me. And I hope that we can create a change to help the public. And also, I noticed some themes, like with making it a no-kill shelter. 2 dogs were euthanized because of this, and if the ordinances were clearly understood and defined, possibly 1 dog wouldn't have been euthanized. I've gone through and I've looked at all the ordinances and I've done different scenarios based on how things could have been interpreted. And I've also gone through the ordinances and I've underlined and bolded the words that are unclear. Some ordinances, they just state that it is a domestic animal. Some just say an animal. So that could probably be something to clear up if it was because the first incident was just a cat, so it doesn't say if it was the dog killed the cat. So it doesn't specify if it was a domestic animal or if it was just a stray. And if it was just a stray and that can be included, then these dogs should have been potentially dangerous before they killed our cat. So just things like that. So I think it would help with the euthanizing discussion about making it a no-kill shelter. I think it would justify chameleon systems in inputting data into the system so it keeps the record of infractions dogs have made. It will protect animals, like I've heard over and over again, the safety of the animals. It will hold the owners accountable. It will establish consistency because the ordinances will be clearly defined, and it will avoid miscommunication. So I have some information based on what I'd like to present, and I just would like to thank you again.
Thank you. Do we have anybody else that would like to speak on this topic? We need to give Jerry a copy.
Our attorney.
Okay.
Is it okay?
Sorry.
And, thanks. And if you need one too, I'll email it to that form online.
All right. Thank you.
Just fill out my email.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Any further discussion on this topic? Commissioners? Okay. Anything? All right. Okay. All right. So then, do I have a motion to receive and file?
I'll make a motion.
A second. All in favor? Any opposed? All right. We will discuss this again next month. Thank you. Appreciate all your work that you're putting into this. Okay. Next victim.
Wait. Oh.
Okay, let's use this on.
Yes.
All right. So for those of you that got this and remember what it was last month, it's changed dramatically, and I'm really excited about the change. I want to make sure everybody understands where these numbers come from and everybody's comfortable with it. The two most significant changes are since we started using our low-income vouchers with this money, we have redeemed 379 of these vouchers for a total of $35,925. 310 of those vouchers were redeemed between the April meeting and this meeting for a total of $33,695. I divvied them up. I divvied this funding up between on two line items. I put where's that number? I put $12,290 on the outlying, and the way I determined what was outlying is I sorted them by zip code, and anything that was on in a zip code outside of the metropolitan Bakersfield area was put into the was included in the outlying figures. And the rest was put in on this line item for our low-income vouchers. The other significant change is the TNR. So when this funding was designated, it was designated that this TNR would be for outlying for the outlying areas. So what I did is I ran a report of all of the TNR that was done from the beginning of this funding, which would have been May of last year. And I sorted that by zip code, and it turned out that we had 369 trap, neuter, release surgeries that were completed during this time period. So that's the number I put in. The dollar amount, 75% of those surgeries were done by Critters Without Litters. Excuse me. Another 15% of those surgeries were done by other local veterinarians, and approximately 10% of it was completed by our staff in-house. And so what I did is because the to make it easy, you know, to and a reasonable figure, I Critters Without Litters did the majority of them. So, excuse me, the dollar amount that I used was is $369 times $55, which is what they normally charge us for the chat reader release program that is not part of the PetSmart grant. So that's how those numbers got there. You'll see that we've done 2,713 surgeries using this funding, and that's and that doesn't include the 28 that were done in April in Fraser Park, because we haven't gotten an invoice from Valley Vet yet on that. So add another 28 to the 2,713 that we did. So I'm opening it up to questions, criticism, however you want to deal with it. I can handle it.
Anybody in the audience have any questions for Mr. Blake?
I do.
Okay.
Those are fantastic statistics, and it's exciting improvement. But our shelters in our vast Kern County, including our small rural municipal shelters, are still overwhelmed with beautiful puppies coming in. We don't have enough homes for them in Kern County. And I feel that we need to begin an adult-friendly, respectful dialogue.
Are you this is about this report.
It's about this report. It's a question. Where are we going? Because all of this exhaustive work is being done by volunteers, by Kern County Animal Services, by grants, but we're not changing the tide. We still don't have enough adopters for these babies.
So I'll answer that question. I think it was a question. You know, all we can deal with from animal services standpoint is the money that's been appropriated to us from the Board of Supervisors, generously by the Board of Supervisors. I understand that there is a larger problem here, but this is the way that we're attacking this problem, because these are the resources that we were given to attack it with, and these are the resources that we currently have and probably in the immediate future will have. What we are doing is we're trying to get the folks in this community, in this county, that are willing and want to do the right thing and alter their animal, to give them affordable access and easy access to do it. I don't know what the future holds, but I can only talk about what's happening right now. And what's happening right now is that in February or January of this year, that number here on this piece of paper that says surgery's done was at 700. We're in May, 3.5 months later. We've done 2,000 more spay-neuter surgeries since the month of January. This is what we want to do every year. If we continue to do this every year and the board appropriates these funds every year, regardless of what happens outside of Kern County Animal Services and the government, I think we'll be in a different landscape in 5 years. If we're able to continue to process over 3,000 spay-neuter surgeries on people's pets, between now and 5 years out, it'll be a different landscape for all of the shelters in the area. I understand that there is a larger problem. I get that. But this is what we're given, and this is what we're working with. And we're going to continue to do it. And if nothing else happens, then between now and 5 years from now, you'll have about 20,000 animals that are spayed and neutered that wouldn't have been spayed and neutered otherwise. That's how I can answer that question.
It has to do with the report. This is not a debate society.
This is a direct question about this wonderful report, which is wonderful. And I wholeheartedly share the enthusiasm.
You've got 3 seconds.
Thank you, Chairwoman.
You're welcome.
Does that five-year plan, Director Cohen, does it still leave us dependent on flying dogs out of Kern County to other regions of the country?
My belief is that, again, a lot hinges on what we're allowed to do with the resources that we're given. If we're continued to have the resources that we've been given, and we're continued to operate in the way we've been operating, just in regards to spay and neuter, I think that the amount of unwanted litters are going to drastically reduce and decrease, like I said, within 5 years. I think, like I said, if we're, even if nothing else happens, and we're able to keep going full steam ahead with the spay-neuter programs that we have, and keep in mind, this is not just Kern County Animal Services that's focusing on spay-neuter. There are tons of other organizations in this community that are bringing forward spay-neuter. We've turned a corner in this community. I don't know if anybody realizes that. Mm-hmm. I've been with this department for 10 years. It is not the same landscape that it was 10 years ago. There's more people in this community that know the importance of altering your animal than ever before. It's going to continue. There's no reason why it's going to turn back the other way. So if we all continue to speak and be vocal and support the department and support the other agencies that are doing good things out there, I'm telling you, I feel it in my bones that in 5 years, this will be a different facility. It'll be a different community. You may walk into an animal shelter and there won't be 250 animals. There may be 50 animals. And I think that's a realistic possibility, and we talk about it all the time. Again, if we're allowed to continue to do what we're doing and we get the support from the folks that are in this room and outside of this room that know how important it is to promote responsible pet ownership, that we're on the right path. And we're just touching the tip of the iceberg here. So everybody sit tight and hang on for the ride.
Just a second. There's one of the things I wanted to mention tonight. When we started this, the only place to get a low-cost spay-neuter voucher was at our shelter on Wednesday night or at our parks and our clinics in the parks. And you know, we had one of the criticisms we got from the people in Fraser Park is, in order to get a voucher, people have to drive down on a Wednesday night and drive home. So we've added, we've opened up Fraser Park this in the last month. We opened up Button Willow. We have spay-neuter vouchers being issued by the Family Resource Center there in Button Willow. And just today we were notified as a department that the veterinarian in Taft wants to take our vouchers, our low-income vouchers. And so the city of Taft issues our licenses. And I haven't had the opportunity yet, but we need to get on. I'm going to get on the phone with them and see if they're willing to start issuing the vouchers out there. We opened up Ridgecrest because the city of Ridgecrest was issuing our licenses. We went out to the city of Ridgecrest. And there was, at that time, there was one veterinarian out there that was going to take our vouchers. Now there are two, and we have redeemed about $6,000 worth of vouchers in Ridgecrest. So anybody who's been by my office knows that I like to write little positive things on my whiteboard. So one of my staff gave me one today, and essentially it says, if you want to change the world, just do a little bit. Because in order to do a little bit, somebody has to be willing to make that change. And we're making that change. So yeah, you're right. We have barely touched the tip of the iceberg. But we have touched the tip of the iceberg. That's it. So and so we have to keep this momentum going. We have to keep this happening. And in January, when we have 700 surgeries, by the looks of that, The Board of Supervisors was going to blow us off if we asked for more money because we weren't figuring out how to utilize what we had. We've utilized this funding. I think we're going to be over. I'm going to be over budget in this. And you know what? If I get ringed for it, I'm going to go,
that's fine.
Surgeries! Thanks. You know, there was another question in the back.
Yes, it's along the lines of...
Name, please.
Come on. Yeah, what's your name?
My name is Annabelle.
Okay.
And along the lines of the report itself, I think that the numbers are great. I would like for you to also consider mobile clinics and maybe even mail flyers out to the most city zip codes. A lot of these do not have access to internet, in which I've seen that a lot of these vouchers are advertised more online. So maybe you can consider that.
I appreciate you bringing that up. We have been doing mobile clinics, and between now and the end of the fiscal year, we've got about five more, something like that. We've got a two-day clinic in Lake Isabella, and we've got a cat clinic in Taft, And so, you know, we are focusing on, we realize that the vouchers work in the places where there's access to veterinarians. And every place doesn't have access to a veterinarian. And we have our mobile coach, and we work with Valley Vet, and we work with other veterinarians that have mobile spay neuter, and we are going to these outlying areas where, you know, where there are no veterinarians that take our vouchers, and where, you know, there are big problems. And yeah, we have just barely scratched the surface. So yeah, okay.
Thank you.
Anything else? Yes.
Hi, I'm Teresa Walker. I'm the director of No Paws Left Behind Animal Rescue. And I was interested mostly in if we approach the vets in the rural shelter areas, which is Delano and McFarland and Wasco, would we be able to see if we could get the vets there on board to take the vouchers and then work in the local communities having vouchers accessible to them?
Yes, Dr. Edith takes them in Wasco.
Yes.
And we have redeemed some from the Delano vet, from one of the veterinarians in
Dr.
Delano.
Dr. Stout or ABC?
ABC.
Okay. And so we have one in Delano. We don't have one in McFarland. We don't have one in Shafter. We don't have any in the lake Isabella, Kern River Valley area that are willing to. So those are where the holes are in what we're trying to accomplish.
Does Dr. Edith have the availability to pass out the vouchers to the community?
That would be a conflict of interest. I couldn't have him passing out vouchers that he would then again redeem.
Right.
Okay.
Could we, as a rescue, possibly have the vouchers go through us and then they could have the surgeries done, Dr. Edith?
I'm working at this point with people that I already have, that we already have a relationship with, because in order to, you don't just give out the vouchers, you have to take the $20.
Correct.
Okay, and so then I have to have a relationship with you to know that the $20 is going to be monitored and managed. And so at this point, all we're doing is if we already have a relationship with you, like Taft. Okay, we now have a doctor in Taft that wants to take our vouchers, so I'm going to connect with the people who are already issuing our licenses. One of the things that happened before I came to work for Animal Services is they had everybody out there doing licenses, everybody, and there was no control, and there was chaos, and the auditor controller's office came in and ripped us to shreds. So we didn't have a single system of controls in place at that time. And we were under public health. Matt Constantine said, "Blake, go fix it." And the first thing I did is I took everything in from outside, and I didn't allow anybody to do anything outside, and I've been divvying it out a little bit at a time, making sure that in each and every case there's an appropriate system of controls in place. So that's kind of how we're going to do it for now. I'm willing to talk about it, but I have to make the people on the second floor really happy with whatever I do. And so I need to know that we're going to have a good system of controls in place before I move forward.
I just wanted to add to what the subject...
Excuse me.
Yes.
You've already had your opportunity. I'm sorry.
Wow.
It's one person.
One comment.
I do need to clarify something with you, though.
Go ahead.
Ultimately, the entities that are passing out the vouchers have been approved by the Board of Supervisors, such as Harley's Mutts, Friends, etc., correct?
Okay, that's a different...
That's a different amount.
Okay, but it's part of the process.
All right, so that is when we did we did a request for application when we had $80,000,
right,
to divvy out to the community.
Right.
So that's different than our just issuing our low income vouchers.
Right.
So what the low income voucher is, you come and give me you can come to the shelter, you can go to any of our shelters anytime and get a low income voucher. So they also wanted us to get the vouchers out in the community. Well, all right, let me go a step back. So they wanted us to have places to make it convenient for people to get licenses. So I worked with the Family Resource Center in Fraser Park. I worked with the city of Ridgecrest because, you know, they, and that's kind of how we started it. Then I moved to TAP, so I'm opening it up incrementally a little bit at a time. So these vouchers, issuing these vouchers is not something that we're required to go to the Board of Supervisors.
Oh, okay. All right.
And technically, when we did the request for application, that wasn't required to the board to go to the Board of Supervisors under those circumstances because of the dollar amount.
Right. Okay.
So we just did it.
All right. So we have clarification.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Anything else? Anyone else? Okay, great.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, so that segues into Judy. We're friends.
Okay. Come up here.
It's hot up there.
Yeah, I know.
Judy Donnell, friends of the Kern County Animal Shelters Foundation.
Mike, Judy.
You don't talk loud enough without me? Seriously?
Okay.
You have to like stick it right here. I put flyers out for Pause for Paws, which is in June. Tickets for sale at various places. So that's number one for us. We have been rescuing all sorts of Delano critters with Lacey funds. A fan mail kitty whose name is Gavin got fixed. We've had did a hernia surgery on a dog that ended up in Washington and got adopted. We currently have a little guy that had something wrong with his eye and had apparently lost lots of teeth also at the vet. Dr. Stout is absolutely wonderful. So we've been dealing with that up there. We're buying stainless steel water buckets for both a few more for McFarland to add to theirs. They've added apparently six extra kennels, and also for Lasco. I believe it's Lasco. It's Lasco. I get confused because the three are all so close. So those are going to be purchased tomorrow, shipped up, and they'll have those. And I did get out to the shelter last week and check out the TV, and somebody out there has taken good pictures. It's great. I love it. There's pictures of happy people with happy cats and dogs that are adopted, and also ones that have gone to rescue, and so they're making very good use of that out there. It was great. That was cool. And that's about it for
right now.
Thank you. Yeah, I want to state that it's organizations like Friends, PAWS, it's the involvement of this community and the dedication of our staff and the things that they're doing. We've made tremendous changes over the last 10 years. And people need to be aware of it, they need to be cognizant of it, and they need to support it and be a part of it, rather than trying to undermine the activities that are going on. We are in a good place, we're going to be in a better place, and we continue to do things to make that happen. So we appreciate your involvement, and we hope that you continue to be involved and help us on a positive track. And I heard some gasps. I'm sorry I shut you down, but the reality is that this is a meeting, we have a decorum, and the way that things are handled is you have an opportunity to speak for 2 minutes. It's not a debate society. So once you've done your talking, you're done on that topic. So I hope you all understand for future meetings that that's the procedure. And as you see, I will implement it. So we're done with Friends. I do have a procedural question. Old business, can it be discussed if it's not on the agenda?
No.
Okay.
Even so the vote or anything, just a question
no,
about it?
Probably should have come up during your
no,
commissioner's
especially
report.
Especially old business needs to be agendized.
Okay.
Okay, can I request it on next month's agenda?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. The two topics are... some items that were on agendas earlier in the year. One was a vote of confidence letter for Nick to be submitted to the board. And the other one was actually while I was out having surgery, but it was something about a report to the board for the activities of the commission during 2014.
Right. which we're still pending. We're waiting for the appropriate time to do all of that.
Okay. Maybe we can just get an update at the next meeting then.
Perfect.
And put those on the agenda.
All right. Okay. On to our next item, which is new business, the City of Bakersfield statistics. Okay, it's up. You're on.
We got county, the city turned over, made most of the stats. They just came, and she said she's willing to continue that. So, you're the numbers guy. I don't do numbers well. So I'm just going to keep on asking to you.
Well, you know, I was able to get. From when the city and county split in October of 2013, I was able to get from October 2013 to like through April of last year. Then there's a big break in the action until January of this year. So I don't know where that data is, but okay, if we don't have it, maybe we can get it.
So you went when was the split?
October of 2013.
October 2013.
I know it very well.
Happened. Yeah. So there's a tough missing. So they gave us 3 months, and you know, I talked a minute ago about our live outcomes here at the county, and like I said, over the last year and a half, 2 years, it's been steadily increasing, positively. I mean, really good. The figures from the city, you know, they have a lot of things that they talk about, but really, euthanasia is really the bottom line. I mean, how many live outcomes are there? So, the save rate, we'll just take January 1st. Their save rate was 46.5%. And I'm counting all euthanasia, no matter what the reason, whether it's, you know, owner returned or whatever. I mean, if it's a euthanasia, it's euthanasia. So, anyway, the save rate's 46.5 for January. For February, it was they did better, 51.2. And in March, it was 47%. So,
yeah, that's because of the euthanasia.
Well, he's combining
owner ones.
Yeah.
He's
including
the
owner.
This is the full rate.
Yeah. I'm just taking total euthanasia and then getting the live outcomes. So, you know, so we can commit ourselves for the 56 to 60% area that the county. The county's huge geographically compared to the city. The city's doing an okay job. I'm not sure where they were, you know, last year, but it's respectable, you know. High 40s, low 50s. So that's what I've got from the city of Bakersfield. Big break in the action, but they've. I guess they're going to get us up to date each month. Is that the company?
I can ask her to.
Okay. Wouldn't mind it, just to kind of compare, but we've got it up through end of March.
Okay.
So that's all. Okay. Thank you.
Gary, I have it through the end of April and then
April.
I think we're looking at something different.
You have April?
Yeah.
I didn't see April.
We
put
that line right under the annual.
I know, but did you calculate that line underneath where it says annual life of leave? Did you calculate that into the percentage?
Yes.
Is that where you got the different number?
I got my own live release rate, but this is what they say. But like I said, I took the total euthanasia. They try to factor.
So you calculated it out yourself?
I did. Yeah.
Didn't calculate.
Okay.
I didn't go. No, he's doing his own numbers.
I'm doing my own.
Okay.
But he's the number
two. I just wasn't quite sure there. Okay.
Yeah. I don't have
any.
Sorry. I didn't see it.
Here. It's called annual live release date. What does that mean?
Yeah, that's a very good question. Annual live release date when they give us a monthly report. So I don't know.
Yeah. That's weird.
So there. Yeah, their stats are totally different than our stats.
Yeah.
And they have their numbers by not including these other things.
Right.
So it's going to be a...
It's apples and oranges.
Yeah.
It really is. You can't compare the two.
We can continue to get them, but they're going to be exactly like this.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's okay. At least it gives us something to use as a guide.
Okay.
So, and I'll comment on the other months next month.
Okay. Great. All right.
Madam Chair, could I make two quick comments?
Yes, ma'am.
Do I have to give my name again?
Yes, you do.
Oh, Lord.
We don't know who you are.
Yeah, you don't.
No, we know about you.
My name is Liz Key. I'm a proud resident of the 5th Supervisorial District. What annual live release rate means is if the pattern in the particular month's report continued for the rest of the year, that's what would come out at the end of the year. Okay, and that's why it changes month to month. But that's what it means. You take a little bit and you stretch it out over a longer period.
So this isn't the amount for this month?
Pardon?
So this is not the amount for this
particular month? Yes, that is meant to be the annual live release for the month of, I'm looking at April. But what it means is if that occurs, if the proportionality occurs every month thereafter, that's what your annual rate would be at the end of 12 months.
So it's a cumulative?
It's a projection.
Projection based on the same relative number of intakes, euthanasias, transfers, all that stuff. Okay?
Thank you.
I think one thing that I'd like to bring to the Commission's attention, and perhaps the rest of you, is if you look at the report under line P, this is for euthanasias.
It's a huge number.
Okay, first look at the euthanized treatable animals. There are none. Euthanized, treatable, manageable animals, there are none. Unhealthy and untreatable is the bulk. I did some calculations this afternoon. They range from 80% to 90%. There is nobody on the face of this earth that can tell me that a municipal shelter, such as the city or the county, actually has almost 100% unhealthy and untreatable animals.
Yeah.
The fact is, many of those animals are treatable, they are rehabilitatable, they are manageable, and so as far as I'm concerned, these numbers are a bunch of you-know-what. Thank you.
I noticed that also, but I didn't want to say anything, but I didn't want to say it.
Commissioner, that's what I'm here for.
Good.
Thank you, Liz.
All right, thank you.
Translating this. Yeah.
All right. So, do you need to receive and file this?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so if I could have a motion. Second?
Okay.
All in favor? Any opposed? Okay. File. So the last item is the adjournment until our next meeting on Wednesday, June 17th. Do I have a motion?
Go ahead,
all right, do I have a second? Any opposed?